Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. Hello, welcome to the big show from the British Tech Network. We're back, we're bad, we're in the studio as normal. No more switching from Joe to Max. Thanks ever so much, Joe, for what you did last week. I'd like to say I had a nice rest, but I didn't. Because the Saturday was taken up trying to get rid of codec issues and the audio. So, but we're all here. We have tissue paper to ensure good mic quality will ensue. Thank you, Mr. Neighbour, for that idea. Very well done. And there's another issue as well we've got to deal with before we get finished. We're here to discuss the week's technology. I'm Ewan Rankin, and we have with us a fantastic panel. Starting top left, we've got Mr. James Hart. How are you doing, mate?
A very good evening to you, Ewan. A very good evening to you, listener, especially if you've changed your sheets today. I don't know.
Is it National Wash Your Sheets Day?
That's a nice day to do, isn't it? Just before the weekend.
Didn't it pee down today?
It did.
Yeah, hail and thunder.
They're still wet on the line now.
Line fresh dampness. Yes, I'm all right. I've just come back from Salford again. Bit tired. Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. You weren't at work yesterday.
At
BBC thingy,
no,
London.
I was up in Salford yesterday and today. And in fact, yesterday, I nearly bumped into Prince Edward. That's how celebrity struck my lifestyle is.
I'm not sure that's a good thing.
So even a minor royal like Prince Edward gets 6 motorcycle outriders.
Hasn't Prince Edward's daughter bumped into something recently? Was that not?
Has he got a daughter?
She's broke her arm.
Louise.
She's bust her arm. Yeah, there you go. And he was off looking at you. I went to Westfields Mall. I thought I might see you there. But
Westfield,
and other celebs.
Got to Waitrose.
Next to him, Mr. Kerry Holtzman. How are you doing, pal?
Hello, hello. You know, I was told I was full of sheets, but maybe that was an accent thing.
Sheets of toilet paper.
Yeah,
covering the mic, doing very well.
I've got it here. How's my sound quality? Is that good? Is it?
It's fine as long as you don't.
that was. Should I buy softer toilet paper or is that?
That was kind of Steve Neighbor all of last week, and it makes a pretty cowl as well. Looks like a tent. How you been, mate? Shot anything decent lately?
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of quick tips, YouTube video tips on my YouTube channel, and that's what's been keeping me busy aside from my PC repair business and.
As you can see,
the computer's in the background. It's all stacked up, waiting to be shot. All in the queue.
Waiting to be shot.
Oh, yes. We did blow one up. We got some explosive and went out to the desert, and it was pretty cool.
I wish I was in America. What did you do this weekend? I got explosives. I went to the desert.
It done blowed up real good.
The only thing that we got here is no desert, so can't get explosives either.
Lots of that over here. We can have some.
Next to him. Ms. Gray, how are you doing, girl?
Below.
Next. Below.
I'm fine, thank you. Obviously, since I've been on the show last, I've been kind of busy building a new website, which was a little while ago, a few weeks ago now, but
it's worked smoothly.
Busy.
I did pass a compliment today.
I did.
Done a superb job. Everything was running tickety-boo. So we're doing all right. Apart from the cock-up last week, which has nothing to do with the website, we're doing fine.
Yeah, no, I'm really pleased with the
smooth
way it went.
Transition.
Very smooth.
And last but by no means least, Mr. Eric Lanigan. How you doing, pal?
Tickety-boo.
Tickety-boo. You're not done the Mary Poppins. Come on. Tickety-boo.
What?
Chat room saying that Bognor Regis is desolate. Don't know if that's desert, but there you go. Tickety-boo. You've never heard tickety-boo before?
Never in my life.
Oh, man. You haven't lived.
You heard that one, Carrie?
Oh, of course. Yes.
Man of the world. So how's Petaluma, mate?
Good. It's rainy, but that's okay. That's okay. Oh, what's with the tissue paper on the microphones? I showed up late today, so I don't know what's going on.
Oh, Steve Neighbour did the Max show. He was hosting the Max show from Seville last week. And I don't know why, but he decided to go and buy one of those little crappy stand microphone things that you used to use in 1983 and ran his whole show off it. And apparently, I talked to Carl in the pub this week, and he said that the standard of microphone was worse than just the laptop microphone that was already there, and he kept screaming at me in the chat room, "Take it out, take it out, take it out!" But no one passed the message on, so it was like pretty much like for most of the thing. So it's in honor of Steve. There we go. And I've got a bone to pick with you, mate. 1 hour, yes. 1 hour, 1 minute and 16 seconds into the show, the tirade of swearing that you put out, I hadn't got a bleep long enough. I had to use the photo audio to cover it up.
I don't understand.
No, you haven't listened to the big show, have you? See, that's the trouble.
No.
1 hour, 1 minute and 16 seconds in, it plays the photo music for some reason. I know why it's done it, because I cocked up, but I've just told everyone that it's because you were swearing solidly for 40 seconds. Oh. So.
It was filth from Eric's mouth.
It was filth. It was Lanigan filth. There we go.
It just had to be censored.
The week in technology, I've had a little bit of a rest, so it's not done. I've not done the rounds completely. Facebook has bought Instagram for $1 billion. That sounds exactly like an Austin Powers script. £625 million. That works out at $77 million per employee. Something like that. It's pretty expensive. They've only got 13 people. Microsoft has bought AOL patents for a sum of $1 billion. That seems to be the popular figure of the week. Don't know who owns AOL this week, but that's probably been nice for them. The Japanese have got a biometric ATM machine. We'll deal with that one later. BT in the UK has decided to give you double your speed if you're on the 40 meg system and give you 76 megabits per second. Whether you actually realise that or not is a different question. We'll have a general chat about that. And Google Plus has revamped itself, so it looks more like Facebook and Twitter. I'm not sure that's a good thing. We'll see. Shall we start with the... Shall we start with the Facebook buys Instagram thing? That's got to be the big news of the week. Any opinions straight off the bat?
Yes.
Go for it, James.
I immediately uninstalled Instagram.
You uninstalled it? Why?
Yeah, that's it. It went. Two things. One, Instagram is nothing more, really, than a bandwagon. If you can see how many alternatives there are out there, and it was just the moment after it went live on Android, that Facebook said, oh, look, we've got ourselves a nice little community here. We'll have that and the technology. They claim they're not going to do anything with it, but you can't really believe any sort of promises that a company makes, especially when they make an acquisition. That's it. Thank you for introduction to the English.
It's a late night.
The acquisition like that. All right, so yes, they completely screwed over Gowalla and that went away. But Instagram, I just don't want Facebook. I don't want Facebook doing stuff with my photos. There was a really nice little community in Instagram, and it's just been blown apart by it. There are more interesting applications out there, and I'm going to have a cool thingy next week, which goes into a little bit more detail into that.
Right here. So down
this is
thumbs.
The bandwagon. Everybody's doing this vintage look thing. Instagram's done it. Facebook's gone, oh, I like that. Suck it to one side.
Right. Any other thoughts, Eric?
Yeah. $1 billion. Did you see that the previous week it was 500 million? And wait, I lost my chart. But I think it was like just a couple of weeks prior to that, or like 6 months earlier, it was 30 million. So it just, I mean, it grew exponentially in value.
What you can't figure out, though, is that they've doubled their value or quadrillioned their value, having brought out an Android app. I mean, that's not users.
It's not the app. This the whole point of it is not the app. It is the potential users of it. Because what happened with Instagram, and that's how it differs from quite a lot of the other ones. I can't name them, but there are quite a few other of these photo sharing things which link into Twitter and Facebook. Is the fact that Instagram had their own community of people who were sharing like a mini Flickr, and they were building. There were 30 million photos or something ridiculous was shared, with another million photos shared in the week that Android was launched. And Facebook just said, "Oh, we'll have a piece of that. We're going to grab that audience and use it for our own kind of nefarious means."
Mm. Sarah, any thoughts? Oh, sorry, go on, Sarah.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that they they said that I think that it's just been, they've just bought it because they're, one, it's a way of stopping anybody else from threatening Facebook in that particular area. And as I said, actually just grabbing the community. That's all it's about. And I think as we saw on Twitter this week, I saw quite a few people actually saying, right, that's it, I'm dumping Instagram, going somewhere else. As James said, there's plenty of other alternatives out there.
I want to ask you guys about that, because I never took a liking to Instagram and I never became part of that community. So I want to see why you guys are so, as a lot of Instagram users are, like, oh, no, Facebook has it. They ruined it. You know, what did they do, or what did you like about the community that Facebook is now taking away? The theory I've heard about this is that Instagram was just much more popular as a tool on mobile phones, a photo sharing tool, attracting people's attention, attracting eyeballs and viewership time that could have been spent on Facebook. So it's not clear how buying this really gets people over to Facebook, or how, to phrase it another way, how Facebook would monetize Instagram while keeping it as a separate product, as Zuckerberg claims they will do. I have to think also that they invested in the large staff of 13 people and had to pay them enough to guarantee that they would stay on with Facebook for long enough and build out interfaces and new technologies that rival Instagram within the Facebook umbrella.
Well, I don't think there's any way that Instagram is worth $1 billion, and they always say there's a big difference between price and value, and I think
that is a lot of money to be changing hands. Just like
it's hush money. I was going to say it's not hush money, but it's mm-hmm. along the lines of To Kill It.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, when you get up to that, that's what seems so, you know, makes you just want to pull your hair out. Because it's like when you get to these high dollar amounts, somehow you go from 500 million to a billion. And it's like, we can't even comprehend what that amount means. I mean, no one really can. We don't think in terms of millions and billions and hundreds of millions. When you play, it's sort of like high stakes gambling, high stakes finance. Facebook is hoping that they will make at least a billion, if not more, off of that acquisition over the long term. But, you know, who knows? It could go the way of broadcast.com. While I was looking this up, I found a hilarious statistic about how bad broadcast.com was. They paid $11,000 per broadcast.com subscriber, whereas the purchase of Instagram is more like $28 or about $33 per subscriber.
The thing that strikes me is, the first statement that I heard from people was, well, they're just going to kill it off. Well, I don't see the point of $1 billion to kill something that's worth 30 with 13 employees. Just seems way overpriced. You've got to be doing something with it to try and return your revenue. The second thing that struck my mind was, I've never seen a more obviously duplicated user list. I can't believe for one minute that there's more than half a dozen people who use Instagram who aren't on Facebook or have got a Facebook account. They might not be actively using it, but they've definitely got it. I just didn't understand. You wouldn't buy it unless you wanted to pull it within the walled garden of Facebook only, but they're saying they're not going to do that. So this is
the confusing thing, isn't it? So if it's not the users, because they've already got the users, and it's not the technology, because there are a handful, there are 10, there's probably tens of these photo, take the photo, press a button. They're like Xzoom is one of the ones I've just downloaded for my Android. It looks really well, and it's got all these filters and things you can do with. There are tens of those. So what is it that Facebook is paying $1 billion for? Eric says, we don't really talk about values of that sort of amount, but yes, we do. When you were talking about patents and rights management, stuff you can make more money out of. And I don't know what IPR. Facebook are going to make more money out of it with.
Well, you know, the media likes to go on about these large numbers, but Facebook isn't necessarily paying $1 billion. It's a mixture of cash and stock. And right now, what's the stock worth? And the stock's not even out yet. So, you know, there's a lot of autobiographies you can read about during the dot-com boom, where these CEOs, young kids, started these companies, and the press are saying, you know, this kid's worth, you know, the most amount of money that anybody his age has ever been worth in the history of time. And the kid's living in an apartment and he's taking the bus, because even though the stock sold, he can't go and sell his stock right away because that's suspicious. So he's worth certain amount of money, but he doesn't actually have that money. And the press just plays all that up. You know, they interview him and say, how's it feel to be a billionaire? And he's like, you know, he's trying to explain that. And they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. They want to hear, oh, it's wonderful. It's great. That's so what the soundbite they're looking for.
What's that proportion though? Sorry, Sarah. What's that proportion of stock?
It doesn't say in the article. It just says a mixture of cash and stock. And the thing
I can't see a breakdown at all. So this again.
I never heard the word stock mentioned.
Oh, it's in the article.
No, yeah, there's it says stock in it. Yeah.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah. And the thing about it is, well, what's it worth? Is it worth? How can you say it's not worth? It's worth whatever anybody's willing to pay for it. That's what it's worth. Now, you know, at one point Microsoft was going to buy Yahoo for a lot of money, and then now they can't give it away. So timing is everything. So these guys.
Go ahead, sir.
These guys are right to sell it, right? I mean, if someone offered you $1 billion, I think they're right to sell it. Whereas, you know, Zuckerberg was offered quite a bit of money for Facebook and turned it down.
Well, I think the bigger issue... Oh, sorry, Sarah.
Go ahead, Sarah.
This is the difference between price and value. I don't think there's any way that anyone would ever agree that Instagram is worth $1 billion. And even to Facebook, even if it's just to kill it or whatever they're thinking... As Carrie was alluding to, I think there's a lot of this harping back to, it's the same old thing with the millennium, with the dot-com thing back, you know, all over again. And I just think they're just not learned the lessons and, you know, we're going to go through this, the bubble's going to burst at some point. I've always felt this about Facebook until they actually find a way of substantially monetizing that value so that they can produce revenue, then, you know, there's nothing there. It's just not any, there's no real value there at all.
But to be fair, Sarah, they've got to develop Facebook. I mean, that's the key point. You know, where does Facebook go? And otherwise, the nightmare scenario you're talking about will come to fruition. They have to do something with it. So they've got to buy two new technologies. This is one of those things, but...
I don't think it's anything special. I mean, you know... He's certainly not worth $1 billion.
No,
I think what's special about it is that Mark Zuckerberg sees something special in it. The article I read said that the deal was pretty much worked out between Zuckerberg and the other 28-year-old CEO, the one who is in charge of Instagram. And between the two of them, they somehow got up from $500 million to $1 billion just over the course of a single conversation. I think the way that happened is that Mark Zuckerberg. Well, I think that extra money was to prevent that guy from continuing as an entrepreneur, the Instagram guy, to create Facebook rivals, to create maybe not even a social network, but just other things that rival Facebook for viewer attention, for place that for eyeballs, basically, against which you could sell ads. And I think he wanted that person on his team, and I think he wanted to cut out that competition. And for only 1%, or actually less now that Facebook's valued at $105 billion, but even if it was $100 billion, at 1%, To knock out your biggest competition on mobile phones and then bring them into your development team, that might be a good deal for them.
Do you really see that as the biggest competition to Facebook was Instagram? I really don't get that, Eric.
On mobile. Those are statistics that I read. I didn't use Instagram at all. But I've heard that people are spending much more time on it. There also is some secret sauce, I think, that Zuckerberg saw. I mean, Instagram took off because it had a lot of celebrities. It had a lot of brands. I saw a lot of high-end fashion and clothes designers were using Instagram, making corporate accounts and engaging with the audience very much as people did and companies did with Twitter. So I think Zuckerberg wanted that secret sauce. He wanted that word of mouth, what got a large audience, a diverse audience into that little community.
Can I just say on behalf of every smartphone owner out there, I never even heard of Instagram until the story came out.
You can't get it on the Motorola starter rack.
explains it.
Carrie has tried
putting it on here.
You've had errors, haven't you, with your Razer V3, mate? And you've bought four off eBay, and you can't get any of them to work.
No, I got one of them to work.
Yeah, for a while.
Yeah, and then I'm going back to a cup with string.
I'll tell you the weird thing, though, is that Zuckerberg said he published a letter on his own Facebook page, basically his blog, that says that he doesn't think that there will be any other deals of this size, either dollar amount or number of existing users that were then brought under the Facebook umbrella in the near future, which is kind of strange because, it, again, it calls into question what their motivation was for buying Instagram rather than any other company as their single large acquisition before the IPO. And why not Pinterest? I think Pinterest as a visual collage photo medium is at least as valuable to Facebook and is capable of at least as many eyeball detractors.
I don't think so because I would disagree.
I was going to say something bad there.
In terms of the user base, I think you're probably right that I would have thought would have been a target for Facebook because it's but in terms of the user base, which is if we're talking about this here is the community, which is the only way only benefit I can see for Facebook in it, then you know they're ahead of LinkedIn apparently according to the latest stats that I saw the other day in terms of user base. You know, why didn't they go after that? Maybe they are going after that.
There's some interesting comments in the chat room about why they pursued it. I mean, did they get in there before Google did, for example? Did they? Who was it? Alex was saying that Facebook needed Skype and missed it. So it's kind of like getting in there quick as you can, sort of seeing the opportunity just as it. I mean, let's face it, they did it days after the Android application was released. That was a really clever move by them, if it was a good move. And then finally, Max S says he likes GigaOm's take, which is Facebook is essentially about photos and Instagram had found and attacked Facebook's Achilles heel, which is mobile photo sharing. And it is true. If you take a photo with your smartphone, the likelihood of uploading it to Facebook as opposed to Twitter, you know, in preference to Twitter or just saving it or emailing it or whatever, or uploading it to Google Plus and Google have been quite clever with their Android one automatically loading it to Google Plus, that Facebook needed that extra sort of step up. So if people are tooling around with their photos before uploading it, they can have it. So yeah, I could see quite a few points there.
Okay.
I still don't see any value in it. Sorry.
You know, the only other thing I can think of is that this may come out, and you can say I said it if it happens. Yeah. These two guys are friends, and one guy's trying to help the other guy out. And this was all planned. Yeah. You know, if you develop something that really takes off, I'm going to buy it from you. You know, I've had good luck. I'm going to share my good fortune with you, my good friend.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Were these guys buddies beforehand then?
Well, I haven't heard anything about it. I'm speculating.
The dude's not certainly called Winklevoss or anything though.
He turned the job down at Facebook, yeah. Didn't he?
Say again?
And he snubbed him.
The deal comes 8 years after Mr. Sistrom turned down Mark Zuckerberg's offer to join the Facebook team in 2004 before it shot to success. So he knew him.
There we go.
Crikey, I'm reading the Daily Mail website.
Oh, James, you don't bring the Daily Mail word in here.
Sorry.
Oh, man, old boy TV.
DM means something completely different here, James. Hadn't you realised that?
We don't say the mail word. Oh, sorry. No. Eric, you've never heard of the Daily Mail, have you? See, he's young and thrusting. He doesn't do ID mail.
Fox News of the newspaper world.
The one that did the wire, they had the voicemail scandal, the phone, all that stuff.
No, that was another one.
That's the news of the world.
They had Samantha Brick.
Hey?
Samantha Brick. You didn't miss Samantha Brick, did you?
I thought her name was something else.
The woman who was so beautiful, women hated her.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
Oh.
I shall Google Samantha Brick during the next story and put a picture up, I promise. Just so it helps. Also, people that have gone mad with money. Microsoft have decided to buy patents off AOL worth $1 billion. Does Arianna Huffington still own AOL or not? She did, didn't she?
No, they bought Huffington Post.
All right, okay. Other way around then. I don't know who owns AOL. Like I said this week, it could be anybody. It could be the Italian government for all we know.
Well, it used to be Paul Allen, didn't it?
Right.
He's probably still got a
But that's the point.
Stake.
Is everyone knows who used to own AOL.
No? Well, it was AOL Time Warner, and then I think it's been independent since then.
It has, yeah, I think.
Right. So what the hell do you buy for $1 billion from AOL? Dial-up.
Well, you do
buy the right to sue a bunch of people and start making your money back.
From what I heard, this is a lot of just dismantling their ISP business, selling it off.
It's dial-up. They've paid $1 billion for dial-up. Nothing more than 9600.
per minute. You know, it used to pay per minute, didn't you, for AOL?
Yes.
I used to have, I think, AOL, it was 56K yeah. before we went to broadband.
Lord.
Yes.
Well, AOL has a lot of patents about, patents, is that how you say it? That,
never mind.
It's all right. Anything, you can call it what you like. I'm not interested.
And they're not selling off the good ones. They're keeping like 300 of their cherished ones, but Microsoft is buying the rest of them, and that's going to enable Microsoft to take a lot of other companies to court and sue them for patent infringement. And it's a sound business investment. It makes sense.
You know, except some of them might be adapting photos so they're square and multicolored.
Go on, Eric.
I think it's... like Carrie said, it's basically giving Microsoft lawsuit power. The value of patents has been skyrocketing based on speculation, on patents trading hands. It may be a sound business decision for these two companies right now, but I think this kind of, runaway bubble of patent valuation, especially meaningless patents, patents that are very vague or you know, duplicate one another or account for something very trivial or obvious, a simple practice, that's going to be poisonous to the market, to the technology market, to innovation. How do you start a startup when you know that Microsoft, AOL, Motorola, Apple, you know, like the top little tier of people is holding all the patents to every technology known to man that you could possibly do? I mean, they've got patents for a windowing system. They basically have the nuclear arsenal to wage a nuclear war if they chose to. A lot of these companies are afraid to, as you saw when Yahoo just sued Facebook claiming that they own the patent on social networking. That ruffled a lot of feathers because people said, patents are a cold war. You don't initiate that war because then it's all mutually assured destruction. And I think people are starting to up their game with that.
A big Mexican standoff.
One of the problems that you've got with patents, though, is if you fail to enforce them, you lose the right over them. So that's a double-edged sword, surely.
No, keep in mind, this is coming from a company that a few years ago, when sued by the Department of Justice, said that they would be stifling innovation if these rules that they're being accused of were imposed on them. And now here they are doing potentially the exact same thing to every other company in the world is exactly that, preventing them from innovating. And how is Microsoft innovating? By buying somebody else's technology. They're doing what Microsoft does best, which is taking what somebody else has already done and then copying it or buying it. And that's the history of Microsoft. You know, whether you start with DOS to Windows, everything was a copy of something else. If DOS was a copy of CPM and Windows was a copy of Mac, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This just continues to be more of the same, in my opinion.
And the problem is the patent. Sorry, and the problem is the patents that are on the books that these companies own should not have been issued in the first place. Again, you'll find like dozens of patents. Someone did an expose recently. I think it was NPR or something. Someone looked up and found 20 different patents for a toaster, literally a bread warming machine that is obviously a toaster. It's spelled out in such technical jargon and gobbledygook that no human alive could decipher that what they're reading about is an actual toaster. And that's the second problem. It's become just a game. They said how they interviewed an inventor who works for like HP or one of those big companies. I think they didn't say the name, who was encouraged by his supervisors to, when he would file for patents on his ideas, to make the language so vague that it becomes unrecognizable. And he sort of became a whistleblower about this because he felt that that was not ethical. But that's what these guys do. And so that's why it does create this sort of mutually assured destruction, because there's companies that own the patents to the internet, that own the patents to, you know, like we said, an operating system, to social networks. As soon as you want to actually start a lawsuit and go down that road, everyone's just suing everybody. I mean, who owns the patents to mobile phones? Well, Motorola thinks they do. Apple thinks they do. HTC thinks they do. It's all patents on the same things. And many of those patents say just like the ability to communicate telephony via the air.
I mean, the problem we've got with patents is they're originally purposed to say, right, if you're an inventor, to promote invention, we will allow you to maintain control over people so that they don't copy what you have just done. Therefore, you will make something new and you will extend and thrive and further the human race. And now it's a commodity, and it's not a commodity. It was never designed to be a commodity. It doesn't work very well as a commodity. If you fail to enforce that patent and stop people from copying you, you lose the right over it. So then you've got the problem of you can't buy a patent and sit on it on the hope that you might be able to use it one day. If someone is already out there copying what you've got, patent law says you have to then actively pursue that person to stop them doing it. You only have to write them a letter, admittedly. You don't have to send them a lawsuit, but you've got to actively pursue the enforcement of your patent.
Now, see, this is.
I'm not sure that's true in the United States, because there's been a lot of companies like that company SCO that sat on patents, various Unix patents, for years and years, decades before they finally sued Linux.
If you've got art out there that's prior to your patent date, you're screwed. And if you've also got a record of knowingly not supporting your own patent's enforcement, then you lose right to it. I guarantee you that's the case.
But all your innovation now has to move to China.
Because they don't
recognize any patents anyway.
No.
I mean, I just think it's quite interesting that Microsoft, rather than suing people, Microsoft have had the arrangement with the Android operating system where they get $10 every time a phone with Android gets soft.
Well, there you go. That's exactly what it's being used for. It's a commodity that's used to bludgeon competitors or other companies to gain a source of income, and it's not what it is.
Yeah, well, that unfortunately then creates a market, which is what we've got, isn't it, in patents?
Yeah.
Because it creates a value on it that you can extort. And I use the word extort deliberately. By purchasing that patent, it means you can then extort money from people who maybe legally are actually doing something with it.
It's not extortion, we'll just qualify that, but I know what you mean.
No, I think it's
licensing, royalties.
No, because if you're buying a patent from another company knowing that you're going to get a fee every time something is used, and you're doing it deliberately for that purpose rather than develop it, then I think it is.
Well, I think
Sarah, I agree.
I think I should just quit my job, go buy a patent, and just collect the revenue, and I don't have to work another day in my life.
Yeah.
I mean, if you see where Microsoft is going with this, I mean, could you fast forward 100 years and maybe Microsoft will cease to exist as a software company and will be an obscure company that only other companies know about that they pay license fees and royalties to?
Yeah, I was going to say, and it becomes, instead of being for that, it becomes a way of creating royalties.
And it becomes a company that's powerful and rich that nobody's ever heard of except those in the business community, and is worth more then than it is now.
And sorry, it is an exit strategy. It's become the exit strategy for dying web 1.0 giants. AOL took up patents. Yahoo took up patents. They started trading them around. Now Microsoft, Skype, all these, well, not Skype, but all these guys from the original web, WebOS.
Are you going to go through people and just delete them as you go? No, not them. Just in case.
Are you honestly saying that you think Microsoft are web 1.0?
Yeah.
Well, they were there. They were there. They're part of the original.
Yeah, but what he's saying is only 1.0.
Well, they're web,
those that were web, there. And
obviously, they predate the web. But what I'm saying is Microsoft reached its peak in the first .com era. I don't think anyone would dispute that.
Hmm? Well, I think Microsoft is worth more today than it was ever worth in the past.
Exactly.
But the question is, but, you know, part of that's because there's more computers now than there ever has been in the history of the world, which means there's the need for more software. However, I think that, you know, shareholders like this kind of thing, the lawyers like this kind of thing. And you, when you get a company that big and there's just all these different departments, I think it is sort of an investment for the company to benefit the shareholders. It was really, that's the company's only prime purpose is to benefit the shareholders. That's their sole purpose.
Absolutely. Company.
And so you can't blame them for doing it. I understand why they're doing it. I don't agree with it, but you know what?
It's a legitimate source of income.
Absolutely. And if the government allows these patents and approves these patents, then the issue is not with the companies, it's with the patent process.
Microsoft is
it is, yeah.
You can't fault the companies for taking advantage of it. I mean, I certainly can't.
That's right.
Good.
But I think we should all take it as a model for ourselves, that we should all go out, find an investor, get a loan, buy a patent, and then get a lawyer on retainer to pursue those patents, and then we could just get fat and rich and never have to work another day in our lives.
There are companies that do that, though, and those companies are pretty much, in my opinion, the lowest of the low, because they aren't actually contributing anything to the world.
It's the business equivalent of the ambulance chasers.
But they don't care what you think, because they're laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah.
And you're working hard, doing an honest day's work, and barely making ends meet.
But the patent division of a company that
has a major moral implication to it, and if more people heard about that, I think they'd probably be. Well, yes, I think that's a discussion for probably a different type of podcast.
I don't actually think a useful company that's producing products is actually any different than a patent troll when it comes to just shoring up in order to extract revenue from other companies via patent litigation. I think they didn't come up
with the patent themselves. Absolutely,
right. Well, that's what we're talking about, though. I mean, just buying portfolios of patents and trading them as if a secondary market.
Well, in some respects, though, Eric, in some respects, it's a defensive move to stop the counter. It's like the first person who does it, the first person who comes up with the idea who does it, and everybody else, it's like the Cold War, starts building up their patent arsenal to make sure that everybody has this just about under the critical mass of patents.
Yeah, it is Cold War. That's exactly right, yeah.
Mm. But the thing is, if you start a company, and your company gets as big as Facebook or Microsoft, you'd be doing the exact same thing, or your advisors would be pretty much forcing your hand on it. You would be doing this. It makes business sense. May not make moral, ethical sense. It may not make community sense, but it makes business sense.
It is unfortunately how you protect the shareholders and the value of the company. Sadly, but Carrie's probably right.
What then is the value of the company? The company's value is nothing real. There's nothing tangible about it. And you end up with this £1 billion in 5 years' time being worth absolutely nothing.
Yeah, it's on the balance sheet. It's an asset on the balance sheet, and it's a tangible value. Right. It's got no fixed value, because it's something that with any kind of patent, over time, it's going to increase or decrease in value based on where that patent is being used. Mm.
Yeah, look at a company like Cerebus. You guys heard of Cerebus?
No.
See, a lot of people haven't heard of Cerebus. Cerebus is one of the companies that bought Chrysler when Chrysler was in bankruptcy and nobody else wanted them. And they buy companies that are in bankruptcy as investments. They have a lot of rich investors. And for a while, they know nothing about the car business. They know nothing about making cars or the research and development and the sales of cars But they bought Chrysler and they ran that company for, probably about a year until they sold it. And I guess, Fiat or whatever owns most of it now. Mm-hmm. But that's the whole business model. That's all they do. And it's very similar, although a bit different, but very similar, where they're just kind of seem like they're feeding off the bottom and they're making a lot of money. And it's a company most of us have never even heard of. And the companies are there strictly. They're not there to provide a value to the community. They'd like you to think they are. They're there strictly to make the shareholders money. That is the only thing that is their one mission statement they all have in common.
Yeah, that's the private equity market.
And that's what this does. If these patents are for sale, they have the right to buy them. They have the right to enforce them. So again, it's not a problem in the business. To me, it's a problem with the laws and the governing that allow this, but I don't blame the businesses.
You can't. It's you have to blame the patents that are on the books and the laws that allow a lot of money to be sued for patents that are obvious and where 10 patents exist that cover the same thing owned by all different companies. Like Sarah was saying, it's become a commodities market. The prices are speculative. Just like with these values of companies like Instagram, $1 billion. Well, not really. That's speculation. They hope they're going to make the money back, but it's really just high stakes gambling, financial gambling.
Yeah. It's a price, not value.
Right.
Japan has created an ATM that uses biometric palm reading in order so you can get your money out. There we go.
Good idea.
So a Japanese person's hand will get you their money. I mean, is this a leap forward, or is biometric scanning really kind of never? I thought, it's a silly story on its own because it's a piece of technology that someone's managed to invent as a concept. But I mean, we've been doing swipe to open your notebook on Toshibas for a long time. Again, patent controlled. But has it really not done anything. I mean, I, where do you go where you get to swipe with your finger now?
Well, I wonder why it hasn't. I mean, when Google Wallet made their big announcement and Google was saying everything's going to be paying with your phone, tap your phone to this, tap your phone to that. Yeah. I thought, well, whatever happened to just a thumbprint or a retina scan? Why do we need an actual device if it's just going to be the equivalent of saying, this is me, just use my fingertip?
That would be because I don't want people to cut my thumb off to get to my money. They can steal my phone instead and quite happily have it.
Ah, but yeah. What do you do, Ewan, if someone steals your credit card? What's the first thing you do?
I ring it and cancel it, but I won't have a thumb to push the buttons with, unfortunately, well, or a phone, for that matter.
They're spending less on it than my wife. I don't do anything about it at all.
So Ewan, does having a retina recognition, is that more scary or less scary?
I think my eyes are... I can shut my eyes, see? Whereas, yeah. You know, someone can hold my thumb out.
Someone's not going to poke your eye out just to get money out of your account, even if
I don't think it works, you see, because the problem is that the albumen goes all fluffy inside, doesn't it? So you can't read your retina anyway. So
okay,
they'd have to take my whole head and they'd have to keep a blood supply pumping, and it's a movie right there.
What about the germs? I mean, your hands, of all things to scan, you're going to put your hand on something and then somebody else is going to put, I mean, at least if it's your tablet or your notebook, you're the only one typically using it. So you're just swiping your own.
But I think the Japanese are fastidiously clean, aren't they?
Oh, the SARS virus thing, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, you could use a voice print, you could use facial identification, you could use a combination. You could walk up to an ATM and the ATM could offer you just like how on websites, some websites give you the option of a passphrase or a gesture. You could have the option of 8 different biometric scanning things. But I think this is the future, and I really don't know why we still use things like passwords and why biometrics hasn't taken off. I do not buy those arguments as old as they are and as enduring as they are for about, you know, theft of a finger or cutting off a hand. I think there's plenty of ways to prevent that. Among other things, don't scan a hand. If it's cold, it has to be actually warm and connected to a body, you know?
Not a picture of a head.
Yeah, imagine if someone plucked out your eyeball like in that one movie and then scanned with the retina. Well, if you walked up to an ATM, ATMs have cameras, they'd see a guy holding up a severed eyeball and they'd catch them and they'd be, you know.
Well, if you're going to go there, I mean, then why are we even using cash? I mean, if you're going to go to this whole future society thing, maybe, you know, cash is an old, outdated technology we shouldn't even be using anymore.
But I mean, the biometrics,
until the computers crash,
biometrics have been around for 40 years. Someone's been scanning a finger on a sci-fi movie and in reality for 40 years plus, the 70s. I go to a place now where I have to scan an ID card that's got my picture on and then put my index finger on a scanner thing that reads it. And it doesn't work. And then you have to rub it with your finger and then you have to put your finger back. And the whole plant has to put their finger on this thing to go in. And I've got to say, I hadn't thought of the germ thing until you guys mentioned it just now. I ate my sandwiches.
Well, I'm glad I could help you out there.
I have to go through 3 of those to get to the canteen.
I just want to stand outside that ATM machine and ask if anybody can lend me a hand.
Oh.
The way the Japanese make those fancy toilets, don't you figure they could make a fancy way to wipe down and sanitize the thumb pad between every user?
Thank you.
No, like
suddenly there's a whole new reason I think we brought this on today.
The tissue paper, yes.
Every time someone puts their palm on there, then a little squeegee comes up and a little cartoon face goes and it goes doo doo. Next customer, please.
They wouldn't have this in India, would they? Right hand only.
that's not right hand. It's that's Saudi Arabia, isn't it?
No, that's India. The left hand is unclean.
Ah, well, fair enough. moving on then. BT Infinity. BT is going to double your speeds tomorrow to 76 megabits per second. This was today, actually, as it happens.
Did you see the upload speed's gone up from 1 to 10 meg or something ridiculous as well?
Upload speed's boosted from 9.5 from 1.9. So it's 5 times increase on that one.
That's amazing.
I can't breathe through this toilet paper. How to asphyxiate someone? Use toilet paper. God. Sarah, you said you did some research on this today.
Yeah,
no, we don't need
this.
We don't need the tunnel, Sarah.
Okay.
lose the tunnel.
Okay.
So you said you did some research on this. Do fill us with your research.
Well, I have BT Infinity. So I thought this morning when I saw the story, I thought, okay, fine, I'll leave it until the end of today. And then I thought, okay, I'm going to give some speed tests. So I've been doing some speed tests and it's absolutely no difference whatsoever. Exactly the same as what it was last time I tested it, which was albeit a couple of months ago.
It's utter bull.
Absolute. And then the fact that it was I only saw it in the one place, couldn't find any other place where this story was actually mentioned. I thought, I wonder whether they've got hold of a rumor or something, because I had a few weeks ago, I had a guy from BT come and actually change the modem here because there was a fault with it. And yeah, I got chatting with him and he said that they are actually planning on doing a rollout of increasing speeds throughout this year. But he wasn't specific about when. And I don't think it's going to be a big bang. Big bang. I got the impression he was talking about a stepped increase in speed.
Well, BT have never done a bang of anything apart from your bill.
But that's right. I don't think I've heard of anybody with a BT broadband account that doesn't have an up to in front of their speed.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I mean, I'm on Infinity. Okay, I'm probably less than 50 yards away from the box where the fibre is. The end of my street, and I get 35, 37.
But you're supposed to be getting near 80 today.
No, well, apparently, but as I say, the speeds are no different from what they were a month or two ago. Mm. So, but as I say, I believe what he says, because obviously he worked for BT or Openreach or whoever it is, and that sounded more plausible than when I saw this, and I thought, okay, I wonder if somebody just getting the wrong end of the stick or something like that.
Are they simply trying to...
Someone's getting something on one end of the stick.
Sorry, James?
Because Virgin Media are upping their... I mean, when you get 10 meg from Virgin Media or 50 meg and it works properly, you get the full thing. It is.
It is.
Until you run out of bandwidth. So when they double the speed, as they're promising to do to almost their whole customer base later in the year...
Mm.
That, all right, so it's going to cost a little bit more, but you are going to be guaranteed that extra amount of bandwidth. And I think BT maybe are just trying to keep up.
Yeah. I mean, I have to say, you know, I mean, I use a lot of streaming. We use iPlayer and things like that here. The speed we're getting for downloads is perfectly adequate. Mm. I don't actually know what I would do with an extra, if it went up from the 35 I'm getting to 100. You know, video streams... on iPlayer and stuff, don't get any interruptions and no packets getting lost or anything like that. You know, I don't think it's actually going to make a difference. I'm perfectly happy with what I've got now.
Too many other servers cap their downloads also. I was trying to watch a couple movie trailers on Apple's website and for years, I mean, I've never gone and tried to play a 1080p trailer on Apple's movie trailer site that has actually played without me having to pause and just wait for it to buffer entirely. Because they limit it. I watch my little, I have that iStat menu always running in the corner, and I can see when, for instance, I'm throttled by the server to like 10 megabits instead of the maximum, which I think is about 23 on my connection here. So I can always see that. So many sites, I have to do more than one download simultaneously in order to maximize even my little 23 megabits. Look at YouTube. When I hit YouTube at a peak time, like in the evening, they'll go like, you'll try to watch a 1080p video. Again, good luck, because they're going to throttle you down to about 800 kilobits a second.
Mm. Well, the chat room's pointing out that we've been had, because the story has got us to give them some column inches, in inverted commas. So there you go.
Well done, DT.
DT did say that he got some column inches on Bagel Tech, which he didn't. But there you go.
It's British tech now,
dear. It's British tech, old boy.
Yes.
Google Plus has revamped to look like Facebook and Twitter. We're going to do four stories if it kills me tonight. I've got to keep up with Lanigan. He set the bar high now.
I'm struggling to keep awake for this one, though.
Has anyone been?
Yeah.
I saw it.
I'm just about to type Google Plus.
I did when
Google
we
Plus?
First mentioned it.
What's Google Plus?
We introduced you to Google Plus at the last Bagel Tech Bash ever.
Oh, we did. That's right. Yes. Not ever. Yes. Don't say that.
Through the kitchen window, if I remember.
There's a video that shows you how they've changed it, because there's more to explore now. And what's really rather annoying is you can't close the video.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here having a play, and I cannot physically close the video. It's making me play it. Oh, no, here we go. There's a continue button there. That's fine. I had to wait for that.
See, I reckon I would use Google Plus a lot more if I could do one thing and one thing only. There are some people who seem to have Google Plus diarrhea. All I want to do is I've got them in my random people list. I want to filter out the random people and have, you know, see, they can do friends, family, podcasts, British tech people, but you can't say everybody but the annoying people. And yes, I could unfollow them, but sometimes they do have something interesting to say. I want to be able to segregate it in my way, and they still can't do that. Urgh.
Yes, I know what you mean. That is quite annoying. I've noticed also that it has a trending on Google Plus. Now, where have I seen that before?
What, are we saying Google Plus is trending, or are we saying that
No. If you look on your Google Plus homepage, on the right-hand side of the stream, there's a trending on Google Plus, and it's got Marilyn Manson, Hash Geek, Google, Britney Spears, and Hash IPL.
Why is Axl Rose...
Google is trending?
No, Axl Rose. What the hell is Axl Rose trending on Google for? Is he dead?
That, I was going to say, that's the first thought whenever you see a celebrity. That
yeah, I know. Well, unless it's Justin Bieber or something like that.
Did I just imagine this, or did Twitter propose like actually doing an asterisk? I actually don't remember if I made this up. Did they do like an asterisk that says not dead whenever it's a celebrity name trending?
No, apparently Axl Rose has declined to enter the Rock Hall of Fame. He says he won't attend and he won't have the induction, and he's thrown his teddy in the corner. There you go.
Okay.
What about Axl Fox?
Axl Fox. I don't know who Axl Fox is.
How long do we think it will be before Twitter?
Alex.
Sue Google for pinching their trending on.
Absolutely. While we're on the subject. Sorry, go on, Eric.
I'm sure it's patented.
Absolutely. While we're on the subject, we had a launch a couple of weeks ago, and we've had a fabulous week in iTunes. We're still the number one tech news podcast with the Mac Show, and we nearly blocked out the whole of the new and noteworthy on tech news as well this week. Thanks ever so much to everyone who switched over from the old feeds to the new feeds, because that's the reason that we've done really, really well this week. And also the reviews that you've left us. A couple of the reviews that people have given us. I had this all queued up and now it's gone again. Mal Kramer says, great panel discussing the week in tech. Live discussions, interesting options, and laughs are plenty for each episode. Thanks for that one, Mal. Mr. Walker has put down another great podcast from BTN. All the news from the past week in the technology field looked at in detail. You and Sarah, Eric provide thoughtful insights. Didn't say you did anything, James. So,
I don't.
Long Trousers put down a great tech podcast with great panel every week. Ewan tries to keep control, but usually ends up joining in. But you can't blame him. So there you go. Thanks ever so much to everyone. Please, please, please give us reviews, because reviews are what keep us right up there. They show common interest in the project. You can say what you like. I'd read out a 1-star review if it was on here. You put a review up and we'll read it out, I promise you. But even if you put a 1-star review up, I'll still read it out. I'm not asking for fives. But say what you think and do whatever you want, and please just give us reviews. All the shows, video and audio, need it as well. And we've got 2 new shows out this week. We've got Worlds Apart, which is a thing with Missy and Carl that looks at the differences in the language between the UK and the US. And it's well worth the listen. They've got episode 2 coming up this week. And also, that's for you, Eric, definitely.
I know, I need to study up on that one.
Yeah, it's good. And also, Missy was Missy Poppins this week in her Tech Girl show. So that's worth listening to as well.
It's worth it.
It's very worth it. She's got the right kit on. And also, we've got... Carl has got his new show out, which was his all his own idea, App Chat. We've got 2 episodes up. There's another one coming out soon with a guy called Anders, who's on Twitter at AndersUK. And it's just devs talking about the route to getting their app to market, how they got the idea, how they went through the coding, how they got through the Apple process or the Android process in getting the thing up there. And it's really worth listening, I have to say. I've really enjoyed both episodes that I've listened to. And there's a very young lad who's on the next one who's done 3 phenomenal applications. I can't even walk left, right foot, over right foot, but this guy's done 3 apps, so good on him, well done. Try them out, App Chat and Worlds Apart, and please, please, reviews on videos and audio feeds if you possibly can. Right, it's cool thing time. James, do you have a cool thing for us?
I'm a little bit disappointed because I was going to make a special... I was going to say that I have 2 personal favourite people on the British Tech Network. and they are Carl, who does a huge amount behind the scenes and is now
absolutely,
well, he's an absolute star presenter as well, and of course Missy, on for whom I have something of a soft spot, and getting those two together to make a comedy podcast, and it is hilarious. It is beautifully done, unscripted, but their chemistry is wonderful. I'm bitterly jealous. Worlds Apart, absolutely hilarious, really worth a listen, and that can only go from strength to strength. So that's one of my picks.
Listen to
it, do a review, and bless them, bastard. my proper pick is, I'm quite proud of this. I know it doesn't look much, but this is my Android phone running. It's a Galaxy S running Ice Cream Sandwich.
Hey, another one who's got it. Fantastic.
And I'm not entirely sure how I did. Basically, what you do is you need to put in what's called a recovery ROM. Basically, when you boot up the phone, rather than it just sitting there going, go on, tell me something, you make it so you can load a zip file which contains all the information you need. And there is a massive collection of people, enthusiasts, certainly for the Galaxy S and for other models of phone, who are just putting together the pieces to make a beautiful ice cream sandwich experience for the Galaxy X. And there is literally nothing missing from this now. It can do everything that any other phone with an ice cream sandwich can have. And it's no small feat to make sure the Bluetooth works, the, you know, all the applications run appropriately, the hardware is supported, the camera works, the video works. It even does panoramic photo shots. And I'm really impressed with it. So I'll stick a couple of links in the chat room. The first one is how to put the Dark Knight ROM in the background so it boots up and allows you to load the ROMs, but also the custom ROM list, of which there are about 25, 30 different custom ROMs you can load for your Galaxy S that give a different look and feel. And it's up to you to choose which one. I chose one. Didn't really like it, chose another one, and I'm well away. Absolutely love it. And it runs a lot more quickly. And it's amazing how you can breathe new life into a phone just by putting the new version of the operating system on, because they've put so much development into the kernel of it that when they put the whistles and bells on the front of it, you can still use it. So, yeah, really pleased and proud.
Excellent.
Of that.
Good pick. Ice cream sandwich and all free of charge?
Free of charge, absolutely.
Good man. Carrie, what have you got for us, mate?
I got this really cool, you know, being the techie guy that I am, I do a lot of data transfers, and I also like to have external drives, especially the laptop drives, where you can plug them in and they don't require additional power. And I guess there must be like a color thing going on there. Okay. Well, this company called Cavalry, they make this device. It's called a Bulldog, and it's really clever. So instead of having to buy a prepackaged USB hard drive, like a Western Digital Passport or Seagate makes their drives that are in enclosures already, who needs the enclosure? You just buy the bare drive, or if you're working on a laptop or something and you want to recover data off of a dead laptop, something like that. This thing kind of looks like Lego. I don't know how they get away with that without being sued by Lego, but obviously it's stackable. And it's USB 3.0, and it will, of course, work on desktop drives as well, but you have to buy a separate power supply. But the laptop hard drives will run right off USB power. And you simply just, let's see if I can turn this around, you can see it. You can just plug this right in here.
Ooh. Like
right? Like this.
Oh, I want one of those.
Turn it around this way.
Very good.
Oh, that is cool. Right?
That's very
good. And now here's the cool part. That's not even the cool part yet. And of course, you got a USB. This is all USB 3, by the way. You pick these up on eBay for like 10 bucks, by the way. But if you buy the whole kit, so they have this whole kit, and it looks like this. Let me see if I can get it on the camera. We're getting all kinds of reflection. But it comes with like a rubberized protector to put your hard drive in.
Mm.
And I think the back of it probably shows it a little better. Let's see. And it's like a sleeve that you can put your hard drive in. It gives it some protections if you're a little worried about, you know, bare circuit boards touching things. So they sell this as a whole kit, as you can see here. And you can just potentially, you could buy a stack, 2, 3, 4, 5 hard drives, and they make these in different colors. And then you can say, okay, well, the green hard drive is my data and my red hard drive, you know, the red, you know, the red sleeve and the red plug-in would be, say, my pictures, and the blue one could be my videos. You see what I'm saying?
So Lego. Is it Lego?
Yeah, it looks just like Lego. So I say I don't understand why they don't get sued by Lego. But
you can link them together.
It's even got the holes in the bottom as well.
The pattern,
which is weird,
Lego has actually the pattern for Lego is actually open. People can build it now. So yes, unless you put Lego actually on the little the bubbles, you can build it. That's why Mega Bloks and these other companies are making these products. You can probably make yourself a fantastic model with a hard drive inside. Cool.
The patents for Lego is gone.
Again, it's called a Cavalry Bulldog, and they even have a little video there on their website that shows it in action more than I can show it in my limited capacity.
How much?
I bought just this piece with the USB cable on eBay for $9.99 with free shipping.
Wow.
That's obviously below the retail price, but it was in the retail box. It wasn't used. It was brand new. And then the whole kit that comes with the drive sleeve and the USB cable, I'm not exactly sure where that what that goes for. They sent this to me to review. I like it. It works in XP Vista 7 as well as Mac OS 10.4 and beyond.
And Kerry, so the clear box you're holding up there, it looks like the kind of box that would just, that you'd pull off of the shelf. Like it even has the little tag at the top to be on a hook, but that is an actual hard drive case where the operating spinning hard drive would sit, is it right?
The inside here, I'm not even sure if I can open. The thing about these cases, right, you can't open them without cutting yourself. It's just a little rubberized sleeve that the hard drive can fit in.
A lethal rubberized sleeve.
And if you just, the plastic it's in. If you go to the website.
I misunderstood. I thought it was more like a disposable thing that actually looked like a thing of plastic. So there's actually a more traditional case inside.
It's like a rubberized, almost like a neoprene style.
Well, why haven't you opened it?
I'm intrigued. Yeah, why haven't you got it out yet?
Because on my YouTube channel, I'm making a video and I want it to be opened on video.
He's doing the unboxing.
But you can go to the Cavalry website or just go to Google and type in Cavalry Bulldog. And there are videos that actually show this thing in use. And like I say, can show it a lot better than I can. And of course, because it's USB 3.0, it's backwards compatible with USB 2.0 and USB 1, etc. And what's really cool is on the USB cable they give you, usually, as I mentioned, the laptop hard drives are powered strictly by USB power, so you don't have to have a separate power supply. But some USB ports, for some reason, don't give you enough power. And you know they did it right when they give you two, the cable actually wires off to USB ports.
Yeah,
so
two
you
USB ones.
Get that extra power.
Data,
If you need it. You don't always have to use that second one, though.
Yeah, I've got an X.
The hard drives needed 12 volts, but they don't, do they?
No.
You just need 5.
Yeah, I've got an external CD, DVD drive that's got two USB connectors on it like that.
Yeah, I mean, you can see right on the drive, if I can hold it up here, that it does show that it's 5 volts.
Mm-hmm.
Bring that in.
Yeah, it's not focusing, don't worry. Oh, there
it
we
must,
go.
It must have some kind of voltage multiplier, because I thought hard drives have a 12 volt for the motor and 5 volt for the data. So there must be some kind of jiggery pokery going on there. Very clever, though.
Mm. Thank you, Kerry. Good pick.
Thank you.
$10. Sarah, what have you got for us, mate?
I haven't got one, actually, but I just want to echo what James has said about ice cream sandwich. Obviously, I've been using it for 3 months now, and it is fantastic.
It's an ice cream sandwich loving.
I do love it, yes.
Jolly good. Eric, do I need to ask?
Today, yeah, you do, because actually Kerry inspired something. I wanted to talk, because I was really intrigued by Kerry's pick, because I am a fan of the drive docks, but they're kind of expensive to get one of those drive toasters. And you have to have one per active drive. So having a little thing for like $10 would be superior. But once you get the drives and you've got a collection of just bare drives lying around, you have to have somewhere to store them, right? And so there are two types of drive containers, little plastic boxes. If you're listening on audio, these look very much like VHS cassette boxes, or they look like
8-track.
Or Beta SP if you work in TV.
Beta, yes.
Yeah, they're more Betamax size, aren't they?
Exactly, exactly. So two different brands here. The first one that I ever heard of was called, was from Weebetech, W-I-E-B-E-Tech. And just a small company, but as you can see, it's just a little box. It has two little hooks and then it just snaps closed like that. Problem is, it was really hard to get open. You have to dig your fingernail under the latch. It's not at all as easy as an actual videotape box. So I then tried this one because I heard it was better. This is what a type from Hudzee, H-U-D-Z-E-E. And it's sturdier. I mean, it's a better constructed case, but its clip to open up is actually even harder than the last one. So once you have the drives on your shelf, it's actually hard to access them and then pop them open like that to get them out again.
And the price of those?
They're actually pretty expensive. I think these were like $10 a piece, but if you buy them in bulk, But if you buy them in bulk, I think you save quite a bit.
What I do is I buy a Greg's pasty, take it out of the paper bag, stick a hard drive in, sorted.
Hey, what?
Bit of tape.
A what? A Greg's pasty.
A Greg's pasty bag.
Oh, you'll never be a politician, James.
Greg's pasty bag. What do you need it for? Perfect size for a hard drive.
Or a cake. I don't know what that is. From Greg's.
Or cake, or buy a cake instead. Absolutely. Treat yourself.
Buy a cake, I ask you.
Other bakers are available.
My pick is...
Oh my God, there is some serious blowback from the discussion of hard drive cases.
Some serious blowback. Let's just move on rapidly, shall we? My pick is my iPhone. Because the camera more particularly on it. I've never really enjoyed taking pictures with it. I don't tend to use the iPhone particularly brilliantly when I'm around. But this week I've done it. I went shopping yesterday with the kids and with the wife, and I can't, unfortunately, this is because of the iPhone's what do you call it stuff, the EXIF data, it doesn't do it the right way up. But I went out and we were playing dress up in the
that is child cruelty to hang your children upside down like that.
Yeah, I thought so. But we've done there you go, I fixed it now. We went out yesterday and I thought that's quite for just a snapshot that's taken with the iPhone flash on it in the middle of New Look while we were dressing up, and the staff behind the counter there were looking extremely pissed off at us. I thought was pretty cool. I thought that worked really, really well. And it,
he's
since they've changed,
boy, isn't he?
Yes, yeah, so everyone says that, but I want a DNA test. I thought it was a really, really good, tool to have around. I've never used it that way before, and a little day at the mall yesterday made the world a difference. And my picture of the week is my son. He came up the stairs and he saw the Louis Vuitton shop, and those are all bolts, like crossbow bolts that had been fired or had been put in the wall to highlight the bag. And as we walked up, we went, Dad, look at all those arrows. And I said, they're great, mate. I said, whoever the archer was that shot those is a pretty good shot. And he went, I don't think so. He's missed the bag. So,
but I'm bum.
Had to put me down in one. Thanks, Ellis.
Ding.
I love you.
I think the DNA test came back positive.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, X, pal. Thanks, mate. This podcast and all of the others would not be possible without UK2. They are the people that keep us afloat. We can't do without them. Please support them. Go to our website, britishtechnetwork.com. And you'll see their logo there. It still says Bagel Tech on it. We're changing that this week. Craig's been away with a university course at UK2. And click on that tracking link that says that we sent you. And when you get there, use the offer code Bagel Tech. You get 15% off. And use the offer code Bagel DNS. And you get your DNS management transfer charge completely wiped out. There's tons of stuff on there. Site Builder is a fantastic application. And they've got a competition on at the moment. You submit your site builder that you built, and they'll put it out and you vote on it, and the voters will go into a hat and the winner will get an iPad 3, so give it a go and have a play. It's full Facebook integration. I think it's still free at the moment, you're not paying for it, so well worth getting. Please support UK2. Please buy your stuff from them if you want anything for web, you know, domains, if you want VPS servers, dedicated servers, that kind of thing, because every time you go through Bagel Tech and buy it, it keeps us afloat. because it keeps us on the air, and we've been absolutely hammering the bandwidth just lately. So thanks ever so much to UK2, and thanks to you guys for subscribing and downloading, because you're what mean that we need them. So well done. Cheers. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Hart?
Before you do that, did you find anything that suited you in New Look, Ewan?
I did. I enjoyed the floppy white hat that I just showed you, but I didn't. I didn't actually pucker up and buy it in the end. I bought a set of sunglasses for the girl.
A bit better.
Well, she really desperately wanted a set of sunglasses that were there, and I said, okay, we'll buy them. They were £2.99, and you've never seen a little girl so happy to hand over her father's money and walk around with a bag. She put them in a bag all day. She just wanted to carry the bag around with New Look on it, and that was it.
Aww. Thin end of the wedge, Ewan. Thin end of the wedge.
No, she's got the credit card, really, Gene. Sweet. No question. No question. James, where are you, mate?
I'm on the Twitters. I'm still there. You might find me on Google Plus once I get used to it, but at the moment, SYZYGY, Syzygy, on Twitter.
Thanks ever so much, mate. Well done. Mr. Holtzman, where are you?
I'm on FriendFace, and you can, of course, check out
Instaface.
My podcast at tech-vets.com, Veterans of Technology. That's my weekly podcast with Mike Smith of the Mike Tech Show. And check out my YouTube videos, youtube.com/ Kerry Holtzman.
And it's is that like Grumpy Old Men but for tech?
Friend Face?
No, your podcast.
Oh, the podcast is all about running a computer repair business. It's the trials and tribulations of dealing with difficult customers, how to deal with contracts or not getting paid or difficult computer problems, etc. So for anybody who's interested in that, it's out of our niche.
Well done, mate. Excellent. Sarah, where can we get you go?
I'm on the Twitters and pretty much everywhere else at Sarah Jane UK. And obviously also on the the F1 show on the British Tech Network.
Yes.
Which hopefully we'll be having this weekend after the Chinese Grand Prix.
Well, I think the chat was last time that we were going to run it after the Elmug meeting at 9 o'clock on Monday night from the Wood Pub in Marylebone. So if you want to be on the F1 show, get to the Wood Pub in Marylebone for 9 p.m. and you can be on our show. Sarah's dying in from Ireland. Joe's switching it from up in Nottingham, and I'm sending a feed out from in there as well. So bring a camera that's non-Logitech with you, and we might be able to get a couple of video feeds going as well off the front end. So it should be good fun. And last but by no means least, Mr. Lanigan, where are you, pal?
EricLanigan.com and Twitter.com/EricLanigan, EricLanigan.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. We'll be back again tomorrow. We've got the new show returns in the morning after a week off. And then we've got the photo show at 2 o'clock and the Mac show at 3:30 as normal. Next week, we've got a slight change. I'm going to have to do some stuff on Thursday. So the photo show and the Mac show are going to be on Thursday along with the big show because I've got a thing to go to on Friday. So there we go. I'm taking Eric to Ellis. I'm not taking Eric, God. I'm taking Ellis.
I want to go too.
If Eric's the spit of me, mate, then we're in trouble. No, I've got Ellis wants to go and see a proper rugby match, so I'm taking him down to Swansea to see the Ospreys. There you go. I'm going to Wales. We'll be back again. See you soon. Thanks for listening.